This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, ala alihi wa sahbihi wa ala thumma amma ba'd. So today, inshallah, we will have two chapters. We will finish two chapters. And it seems that we will be able to finish the whole book of Zakat probably within 3 weeks. So 3 more weeks. We have Zakat of merchandise next, and then Zakat of Zakat al-Fitr afterwards, and then how to pay Zakat and the sort of recipients of Zakat, legitimate recipients, those who could receive Zakat and those who may not receive Zakat. And that will be it. So it may be 3 or 4 more weeks, inshallah, and we will finish Zakah. And then, inshallah, we will start fiqh of financial transactions. Fiqh of financial transactions. Some people call it fiqh of commerce. Anyway, it's fiqh al-mu'amalat al-maliyya. Bab Zakat al-Athman. Imam ibn Qudamah rahimahullah said Bab Zakat al-Athman, chapter on the Zakat of currency. And as I said, we will cover two chapters, the Zakat of currency and the Zakat of debts. The Zakat of debts as far as the creditors are concerned and as far as the debtors are concerned. So if you owe somebody money or if you owed money by somebody, this money, who's going to pay the Zakat for it? Keep in mind, the fuqaha are always looking to get the zakat out of every money that's out there because they feel that this is the right of the poor, حقوق الفقراء. So they want to get money out of it. Who's going to pay for it? The creditor or the debtor, and in what circumstances, etc. So then part of it also will be about sadaq or mahr or dowry. Although I don't like the word dowry, because it does have some sort of negative connotations. The word sadaq has beautiful connotations. It's about like a proof of sincerity, a proof of commitment, a proof of sort of truthfulness in that pursuit, in pursuing marriage or proposing to someone. So sadaq, we'll call it sadaq. So that will be, inshallah, our zakat of debts. This is the second segment of this lecture. The first segment of this lecture will be about the zakat of currency. And zakat of currency, it's called zakat al-athman. What is athman? That's plural of thaman. What is thaman? Means price. It's whatever you pay as a price for other commodities, sort of standardized prices for different commodities. That used to be in the past gold and silver. Nowadays we use cash. Therefore, should cash be as a substitute for gold and silver, even if it is not tied to a gold reserve anymore, but should cash still be considered currency, not only in the abwab of zakat or the chapters of zakat, but also abwab al-riba or the chapters of riba? Should we consider cash like gold and silver and apply the rules of gold and silver to cash? Yes or no? Yes, that's good. Well, some people said no, but the vast majority of scholars said yes. And then we need to say yes, because otherwise we would have sort of decimated the fiqh in those two major areas. Zakat and riba, because no one is using gold and silver as currency anymore, and people are only using cash. So, you know, I'll give you $200, I'll tell you in 1 year, bring me back 300, and that would be fine, because the rulings of cash are different from the rulings of gold and silver, and riba does not apply here. Then, so what is the riba about anymore? So it will be sort of devastating to fiqh in these particular areas if we don't consider cash to be like gold and silver, substitute for gold and silver, therefore I should take the ruinings of gold and silver. Certainly, you're not going to say that, you know, they will take all the rulings of gold and silver, because there would be some rulings for gold and silver that will not apply to cash, right? You know, so it's halal to wear gold for women, not halal to wear gold for men and stuff. These things will not apply to cash. But in as far as we're concerned with, you know, gold and silver as prices for things, for commodities, as men, then cash should take all of their rulings. As Sheikh here said, currency, he's talking about al-athman, zakat al-athman, zakat of currency. He said, wa hiya naw'an, so currency. There are two different types of currency or kinds of currency, gold and silver, dhahab wa fidda. Wa la zakata fil fidda hatta tablugha 200 dirham, fayajibu fiha khamsatu darahim. So there is no zakat in fidda until it reaches, there's no zakat in silver until it reaches 200 dirhams. 200 dirhams would be 595 grams of silver. 595 grams of silver is 200 dirhams. And then he said, in 200 dirhams, the zakat will be what? 5 dirhams. And that's all consensus, you know. So in four, in the zakat is five out of 200 is 2.5%. 5 out of 200 is 2.5%. So the zakat is 2.5%. And then he said, وَلَا فِي الذَّهَبِ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ 20 مِثْقَالًا فَيَجِبُ فِيهِ نِصْفُ مِثْقَالٍ. And there is no zakat in gold or on gold until it reaches 20 mithqals, and its zakat is half a mithqal, still 2.5%, because half out of 20 is 2.5%. 20 mithqals of gold, 20 dinars, would be what? Would be 85 grams. And that is basically an estimate, you know, that we try to get as close as possible. There will be some disagreements, there will be some differences, but we are taking the basically mainstream sort of predominant position here in translating their measures to ours, you know. So the translation certainly may result in some degree of error, but we are trying to be safe and to take a middle, moderate position that is also on the safer side. So 595 grams of silver is your nisab, which means your zakat threshold, which means, yarhamkumullah, which means your zakatable minimum, below which you are not required to pay zakat. Now, what if you have, let us say, it's 595 grams of silver. So you have 85 grams of gold. So you have, divide this by 5. 119. So you have 119 grams of silver. Divide this by 5, and it will be 17. Multiply 17 by 4, and it will be 68. And you have 68 grams of gold. You have 119 grams of silver, you have 68 grams of gold. And that's it, you don't have anything else. Do you have to pay zakat? Yes. Yes, there are two reports in the madhab anyway. You have to pay zakat is one report, and that seems to be the stronger report. And you don't have to pay zakat is the other report that is like the Shafi'i position. But, you know, the stronger position in the madhab chosen by Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is that you have to pay zakat. Why? Because 119 is one-fifth of your nisab of silver, and 68 is 4/5 of your nisab of gold. So if you have 4/5 of the nisab in gold and 1/5 of the nisab in silver, combine them, you have the nisab. So this is not about value, this is about ajza, which are portions. So if you have half of the nisab of silver and half of the nisab of gold, you have one nisab. If you have 3/4 of the nisab of gold and 1/4 of the nisab of fidda, you have one nisab. Therefore, your zakah will be binding on you. As we said before, cash is a substitute for gold and silver. Is cash then can you add cash then to gold and silver to complete the nisab? Yes. You add cash to complete the nisab. So if you have, well, what is the nisab of cash? How do we determine the nisab of cash? As we said before, when we use gold or silver, some of the scholars, you know, in the Hanbali madhab, whichever one. But, you know, contemporary scholars of Majama al-Fiqhiyya, Fiqh assemblies, Fiqh academies, you know, etc., contemporary scholars. And you do want to draw on the wisdom of contemporary scholars because they have, you know, do not belittle contemporary scholars, because this is like a sort of a general attitude that Muslims nowadays have, and it has to do with arrogance. At the end of the day, it's about arrogance. It's about, you know, not wanting any of your contemporaries to be like you, to be more than you. So you only submit to the authority of al-Bukhari. Because, yeah, he was like 1,200 years ago. You don't feel that urge to compete with al-Bukhari because he probably lost hope that you could ever compete with him. And he's not alive anymore, so you don't feel like it doesn't cause you any pain that he surpassed you because he's not alive anymore. But that generally, that attitude. So don't belittle contemporary scholars. Yes, certainly we have the concept of fadl al mustalaf al khalaf, the precedence of the salaf and their superiority of the knowledge of the righteous predecessors and and ancestors, and certainly the closer it gets to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the better it is. All these concepts are valid concepts, but it does not mean that the ummah will dry out. The ummah does not dry out. Anyway. So going back to the contemporary scholars on the issue of the nisab, they said the gold standard is the gold standard. So gold is the standard. And in this case, the nisab of cash will be determined according to the value of gold. So 85 grams of 24 karat gold, we did this calculation before, and someone came up with a number. It was about 3,000 and change, you know, a little bit more than 3,000. So let's say 3,000, just for the sake of simplicity here and practicality, 3,000. So you have, what is 17 times 3? Will be 51, right? 51. So you have, you don't have 68, but you have 51 grams of gold, which means you have 3/5 of the nisab of gold, and then 3,000 is the nisab for cash. You have 600. Oh, jazakallah khair, sir. $600. So that is 1/5 of your nisab in cash. So you have 3/5 of the nisab of gold, 1/5 of the nisab of silver, 1/5 of the nisab of cash. You have the nisab. You add them up, you have the nisab, you need to pay your zakat. Is this all clear? Clear. Then the sheikh said, فَإِنْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا غِشْ. This is something that you will not have to worry about, but anyway. فإن كان فيهما غش فلا زكاة فيهما حتى يبلغ قدر الذهب والفضة نصابا فإن شك في ذلك خير بين الإخراج وبين سبكه سبكهما ليعلم قدر ذلك. And if there is any doubt about its purity, there are two options to choose from: to pay the zakat on the amount as it is, or to first purify it by casting in order to determine the actual amount. So you have gold, and you're not quite sure if it is, how pure it is, and so on. So it will tell you, you either weigh the whole thing, or if you want to figure it out, just go, you know, and cast it and see what comes out of it, you know, the amount of gold that comes out of it. But also, if you're certain that what you have is 18 carat gold, then you'll figure out what this is like in 24 carats. You know. So you'll figure out. But because the zakat is on the 24 carat gold, it's 85 grams of the 24 carat gold. Then the sheikh said, ولا زكاة في الحلي المباح المعد للاستعمال والعارية. There is no zakat on permissible jewelry that is prepared for personal use or lending. There is no zakat on permissible jewelry that is prepared for permissible use or lending. And that is when there is a big controversy between the scholars, and we have, you know, the Hanafis and the Zahiris said there is zakat on jewelry permissible for use. And the Maliki, Shafi'is, and Hanbalis said there is no zakat on jewelry that is for use. So your silver jewelry as a man and your gold and silver jewelry, keep in mind, if the jewelry is not permissible, he said permissible, that have a permissible use. If you have gold and silver utensils, that is not permissible. It means you have to pay zakat on that, because that is considered currency, because this cannot be usable, because its use is haram to begin with. You can't really use gold and silver utensils. Gold fork, you know, silver dishes and gold. So these are not halal to use to begin with. Therefore, you can't say that this is a usable item, usable property. It's not usable, it's not halal to use. So utensils are out of the question. Gold for men is out of the question as well. If you have gold jewelry as a man, it is zakatable by consensus also. Why? Because it's not usable property. Because you can't use it to begin with. It's not halal for you to use it to begin with. But silver jewelry for men, gold and silver jewelry for women, are they zakatable? Let's say a woman has 105 grams of gold that she uses. Is this zakatable? Let's give a little bit of time to discuss. So why did Imam Abu Hanifa say that it is zakatable? And why did the Zahiris concur with Imam Abu Hanifa on this issue? The literalists, Zahiris, they translate Zahiris as literalists, although it may be condescending. So we could say textualists better than literalists. Textualists, although you say textualists about the Hanbalis as well, but, you know, it's a long story. Anyway, but why did Imam Hanifa say, despite that Imam Hanifa is usually the person who holds on to ongoing principle versus the singular reports, here he switched seats with the Jumhur. So here the Jumhur, you know, basically held on to the ongoing principle that usable property is not zakatable, and Imam Hanifa switched with them, and he took the side of the singular individual reports that indicate that jewelry is zakatable. Gold and silver jewelry. We're not talking about diamonds. We're not talking about rubies. We're not talking about this stuff. We're talking about gold and silver only. Okay. So Imam Abu Hanifa said, first, gold and silver are zakatable. The default for gold and silver is that they are zakatable. There is no, why are you making a distinction between gold and silver that are used for as currency and gold and silver that are used as jewelry. You know, where is that distinction? How are you making that distinction? The Jumhur will say we're making that distinction because the ongoing principle that you agree with us on is that usable property is not zakatable. You know, ليس على المسلم في عبده ولا فرسه زكاة. So, a Muslim is not obliged to pay zakat on his sort of horses, for instance, or his slaves. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, and we agree with you. We all extrapolated from this that usable property is not zakatable. So Imam Hanifa would say, but you have several reports here in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated that they are zakatable. He would mention, one of those reports. I'll mention just one report, but there are three or four reports in this regard that corroborate each other. But, mentioning one of them, the Prophet ﷺ one day entered upon Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, دخل علي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وفي يدي فتخات من ورق. فقال ما هذا يا عائشة؟ قلت صنعتهن أتزين لك يا رسول الله. قال أتؤدين زكاتهن؟ قلت لا. قال فهو حسبك من النار. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم entered upon me, and I had, fatakhat means big rings, I had in my hand, or on my hand, I had big rings of silver. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "What is this, Aisha?" And I said, "I made them. I had them made, O Messenger of Allah, to beautify myself, to adorn myself for you." You know, which is a concept that, given the sort of the feminist environment, would be sort of not a valid concept. No, but certainly it is a valid concept. صنعتهن أتزين لك يا رسول الله. I had them made so that I would adore and beautify myself for you, O Messenger of Allah. It is a valid and essential concept, by the way. So then the Prophet ﷺ said to her, أَتُؤَدِّينَ زَكَاتَهُنَّ, are you paying, because she had like more than one, so that's why the plural is being used. Are you paying the zakat on them? And she said, no. And then the Prophet ﷺ said to her, فَهُوَ حَسْبُكِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Then this is, the fact that you're not paying zakat on them, This is enough to earn you punishment in the hellfire. It's extremely powerful. This is reported by Abu Dawood. It is extremely powerful. So how could the Jumhur in this case argue against an extremely powerful statement of this nature? They base their argument on, the fact that this report is controversial. Some of the scholars of hadith, many of the scholars of hadith said that the report is not traceable to the Prophet ﷺ, it's not an authentic report. Some of the scholars of hadith found it corroborated by other reports and felt that it would be at least hasan, it would be at least acceptable, at least a sort of admissible proof in Sharia, according to our usul. Then the Jumhur said, okay, if we agree that these reports corroborate one another, then the Prophet may have wanted to discourage extravagance, because in these reports, there's always the mention of big and fat stuff, big and fat bracelets, big and fat rings, and that is why the Prophet ﷺ wanted, that is why the Prophet talked about zakah and talked about, try to discourage this attitude, because there is always the mention of big and fat. So maybe the Prophet did not mean to say that the zakat is obligatory necessarily, but he meant to discourage them from extravagance. That this is beyond this is beyond reason, beyond moderation in zina. If you want to adorn yourself, just do something that's a little bit more moderate. Uh, difficult, isn't it? Because really, if you want to be textualist, and you would have expected the Hanbalis to be here, like taking the Hanafi seat, and but it is completely different here. So, but if you want to be textualist, then you want to side with Imam Abu Hanifa on this issue, and the Zahiris as well. That's why the Zahiris sided with Imam Abu Hanifa, if you feel that these reports corroborate one another. And according to some of the scholars of Hadith, these reports do corroborate one another. And it will be hard to dismiss them once you feel that these reports are established to the, you know, traceable to the Prophet ﷺ. It will be hard to use the argument of the Jumhur, the argument of the Maliki, Shafi'is, and Hanbalis, to dismiss them as basically the Prophet discouraging extravagance. Because he's simply, he's saying, أتوى الدين زكاتهن, you are paying zakat on them. So he's clearly mentioning, explicitly mentioning zakat here. It will be hard. Therefore, if you want to be on the safe side, particularly if your niyya is not really, if you're not quite sure about the purpose of your ownership of this gold and silver, then you want to pay the zakat. It's closer to piety to pay the zakat on gold and silver jewelry, particularly if you have a large amount. If like a woman, for instance, buys them, and she says to herself, "I'll wear them, and if any need arises, I'll sell them." You know, stuff like this. So she's not. It's not purely for personal use, but there is also some other sort of intent here. But if you have like the Jumhur, to be fair to the Jumhur as well, I wanted to mention to you that Imam Ahmad said, we've heard from 5 Sahaba without any contestants that gold and silver jewelry are not zakatable. He mentioned Anas, he mentioned Aisha, he mentioned Ibn Umar. He mentioned Ibn Abbas, he mentioned Jabir. So he said, we heard from 5 Sahaba that go, Aisha and Ibn Umar themselves, they used to have some dependents that had gold and silver jewelry, and they did not pay zakat on it. So it's really difficult. It's really difficult. But I would say that, and this is completely acceptable, and we can talk about it some other time, we can give it a whole lecture, where you create different scenarios and you take the position of Imam Abu Hanifa in one scenario and the position of Imam Malik in a different scenario, or this or that. But you could say that there could be different scenarios here. Like if you have like an orphan who has like some gold and silver, like a little girl who is an orphan and she has gold and silver, you don't necessarily need to pay zakat on this. But Imam Abu Hanifa here would say you don't pay zakat because they're little. But if you are...